This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from the Radio Cab Foundation, presenting its second annual benefit golf tournament, Saturday, July 8th, 9:30 a.m. at Heron Lakes Golf Course. Proceeds go to assist hospitalized children and disadvantaged families in the metro area. Registration and prize information at radiocabcares.org.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
I had a new clearance in my pocket, which said I could enter Gitmo. It had been faxed the night before, but when I tried to check in for the private plane at Kingston, Jamaica, they said the Pentagon had just called and I was barred, and they gave no reason.
The United States bars journalists from the military prison at Guantanamo Bay just days after three prisoners commit suicide there. We'll speak with a reporter prevented from entering Guantanamo and another who was forced off the island. Then award-winning New York Times columnist Paul Krugman on a new class war in America.
A lot of things have become more visible since George Bush was installed in the White House, but it's a it didn't start there. There's this great sweep of history trying to understand what happened, and a lot of it has to do with questions of inequality of class.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A newly released Pentagon study reveals U.S. forces held Iraqi detainees for up to 7 days at a time in cells so tiny they could neither stand nor lie down. The cells measured 4 feet high, 4 feet long, and 20 inches wide. One Iraqi detainee alleged his captors duct-taped his mouth and nose before placing him in the box-like cell. The Pentagon investigation also determined some Iraqi detainees were fed only bread and water for up to 17 days, during which time they were chained to the floor of their cells. Other Iraqis were stripped naked, deprived of sleep, and assailed with loud music. The Pentagon report was completed in November 2004, but only made public last week in response to a Freedom of Information request from the American Civil Liberties Union. The report's author, Army Brigadier General Richard Formica, determined the troops used unauthorized interrogation methods that violated the Geneva Conventions, but he recommended no U.S. troops be disciplined for abusing Iraqis. In other news from Iraq, the U.S. military is searching for two soldiers who've been missing since Saturday. Iraq's foreign minister told CNN the soldiers were seized by a group of insurgents. The soldiers were identified as Christian Menchaca of Houston, Texas, and Thomas Tucker of Madras, Oregon. They are the first U.S. soldiers to have been reported missing in action in Iraq in 2 years. In Baghdad, 43 people died Saturday in a series of 7 bombings. On Friday, 11 people were killed when a suicide bomber exploded a shoe bomb inside a Shiite mosque in Baghdad. Meanwhile, thousands of U.S. and Iraqi troops have completely surrounded the Sunni city of Ramadi. New checkpoints were established on Saturday. The United Nations is reporting nearly 10,000 residents of Ramadi have already fled the city, fearing a Fallujah-like assault. In Washington, D.C., the House of Representatives has voted to reject setting a timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. The vote was 256 to 153. The Republican leadership accused dissenting Democrats of failing to support the troops. But Congressmember John Murtha, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, slammed the Republican tactics.
The only way we can change things in Iraq is to change direction. It has to be changed on the ground. What we say here today, as President Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, going to mean very little. It'll get lost in a rhetoric. What means something is what happens on the ground. All of us support the troops. If you vote for the appropriations bill, the defense appropriation bill, you voted to support the troops. If you vote for the armed services bill, you voted to support the troops. I believe this resolution, if you vote for it, you're voting to support a failed policy wrapped in illusion, and I would recommend to the members they vote against this resolution.
Pennsylvania Democrat John Murtha. An internal memo from the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad leaked to the Washington Post reveals the situation in the Iraqi capital is far more dire than portrayed by the Bush administration. The memo mentions that one Arab newspaper editor is preparing an extensive study on how ethnic cleansing is now occurring in almost every Iraqi province. One Iraqi employee of the embassy said he attends a funeral every evening. Neighborhoods in Baghdad are now mostly controlled by militias. Islamic groups are enforcing strict social codes. Women are increasingly pressured to cover their faces. It's also now considered dangerous for men and children to wear shorts outside. Iraqis working in the U.S. Embassy must now keep their place of work a secret, even from their own families, because anti-American sentiment is so high. For the past 6 months, the embassy has been unable to call Iraqi workers at home or use them as translators for on-camera press events for their own safety. The memo from the U.S. embassy was sent to Washington last week ahead of President Bush's visit to Baghdad. In Afghanistan, the U.S. military has launched its largest offensive since the fall of the Taliban in late 2001. More than 10,000 troops are spreading out over four southern provinces to fight the Taliban. Over the past month, more than 500 people have died in Afghanistan in some of the heaviest fighting of the war. Meanwhile, the Washington Post is reporting the U.S. military has carried out 340 airstrikes in Afghanistan over the past 3 months. That's more than double the number of airstrikes conducted in Iraq during the same period. The New York Times is reporting North Korea may have completed fueling a long-range ballistic missile. Unnamed American officials told the paper this greatly increases the possibility that North Korea will conduct its first test launching in 8 years. Japan's warning it'll take severe action if North Korea launches a long-range missile. Here in New Orleans, public housing advocates are protesting the federal government's decision to eliminate 5,000 units of public housing. NAACP civil rights attorney Tracy Washington has announced plans to sue the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And activists with the group United Front for Affordable Housing have vowed to use any means necessary to stop the bulldozing of their apartments. If the federal government's plan goes forward, New Orleans will have lost 85% of its public housing over the past decade. The development has been welcomed by some. Shortly after Katrina devastated the city, Republican Congress member Richard Baker from Baton Rouge reportedly said, quote, "We finally cleaned up public housing in New Orleans. We couldn't do it, but God did," he said. In religious news, Catherine Jefferts Shorey of Nevada has been elected to head the Episcopal Church, becoming the first woman to ever lead a church in the World Anglican Communion. Her election comes at a time when many Anglican churches still don't acknowledge that women can become priests. Bishop Shorey is a former oceanographer who became a priest a decade ago. In news from Capitol Hill, the House has voted to remove Congressmember William Jefferson of Louisiana from the Ways and Means Committee. Jefferson's under federal investigation for bribery, but he has not yet been charged with a crime. The Congressional Black Caucus opposed the move. It's believed that the House has never taken such a harsh step against a member not charged with a crime. Last month, the FBI raided Jefferson's congressional office, touching off a constitutional debate over the powers of the executive body to seize evidence from lawmakers. The state of New Jersey has subpoenaed records from five major telephone companies in an effort to determine whether they broke the state's consumer protection laws by providing records to the National Security Agency. The companies subpoenaed are AT&T, Verizon, Qwest, Sprint, Nextel, and Singular Wireless. Now the Bush administration is attempting to block New Jersey's investigation. Last week, the Justice Department filed a lawsuit to halt the subpoenas. In news from Britain, the Observer newspaper reports the British government has been secretly awarding honors to senior U.S. military and business leaders connected to the Iraq invasion. The list includes Riley Bechtel, the head of the U.S. company Bechtel, General Tommy Franks, and Vice Admiral Timothy Keating. In New York, over 200 people demonstrated at Ground Zero Saturday to protest the government's failure to respond to the health effects of 9/11. Among the protesters was Joseph Zagroda. His son, New York Police Detective James Zagroda, died at the age of 34 in January from heart and lung complications directly related to the 9/11 attacks. In labor news, janitors and groundskeepers at the University of Miami in Florida have voted to unionize and join the Service Employees International Union. Earlier this year, the janitors staged a 9-week strike against Unico, the Boston-based company contracted to provide janitors for the private university. And in Bangkok, dozens of Burmese exiles, Thai activists, and Buddhist monks gathered earlier today to mark the 61st birthday of the imprisoned Burmese pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi. The 1991 Nobel Peace Prize winner has spent 10 of the past 16 years in prison. This is San San, an exiled member of the National League for Democracy.
This is our hope and this is our victory. And I want international community to press our military regime to release her unconditionally and immediately.
San San of the National League for Democracy. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.